Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's been a couple of weeks.
Yes. You were busy being all civic.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah.
Counselor Wallace Richmond.
Yeah. You're.
It's my alter ego.
Yeah, but you're in demand, and I understand. It's. You've got a lot of requirements and responsibilities in your various careers, but this city councilor career is taking a big front seat. And it's fantastic because I love seeing you, you little political junkie, you, in the driver's seat in terms of policy making and relationship building. And I don't know, it just makes me happy to know that you're out there doing good stuff.
Random compliment. Thank you. It's hard to say thank you, but thank you. I'm doing my job. I love it. So,
yeah.
But it does.
Tomorrow the world.
Yeah. But Voice of the Shoe Shop is an important part of that because we have this opportunity to talk for an hour on a topic. Mm-hmm. And how often do we get to do that?
I know. No. Well, it's like carving out time in your day for anything, and we're finding it more and more difficult these days.
So yeah.
It's lots of reasons why, but
here
we are carving it out.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so today we thought we would bring in a couple of threads of conversation we've had over the last three years.
We've been doing this almost 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
I know.
3 years. So we have our 10,000 hours almost, but, relating to culture, how do you measure it? How do you plan for it? What does it mean? What does it look like? Who's partaking, who's not partaking and why? You know, because culture is a bit, planning for culture is a bit like herding cats.
It's a lot like herding cats.
Because it's very ethereal. It's hard to...
nebulous?
Yeah, it's, measure. You can't say, oh, look, there's culture.
Yeah.
Like you can say, oh, look, there's a trail, or oh, look, there's a road.
Yeah.
So it's not a finite, physical
concrete
thing.
Things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is why. So the reason we're on this...
Like perishability, you know, like...
Yes. It changes.
Right.
You can't help it. Mm-hmm. You can't make it not change. Mm-hmm.
And if you host an event and people don't show up, it's like fruit that's gone bad.
You know?
Like it has a perishable quality. So how do you make the most of the capacity? And
right. So, but the reason we're talking about this is because we are in the discussion and research and planning phase for a potential cultural master plan in the community. Mm-hmm. And we talk a lot about, cause I've been talking to a lot of people about it, about what they would like to see in terms of the scope and everything and how big or how small or how, you know, regional, how city. And a lot of people kind of need to know, well, what is it, right? What is a cultural master plan? Mm-hmm. And I have to say, it's not like a greenway strategy or a recreation plan.
No.
Like there really is not a thing like a infrastructure plan that's like, okay, we're in 5 years, we're going to make this. And then 10 years, we're going to make this. Mm-hmm. It really isn't like that. Mm-hmm. It's totally different. It's very malleable. It has to start from the ground up. You can't find another city's cultural master plan, put your name in the blanks, and then make it happen.
No.
It's about who you are as a community and then building on that.
Yeah. What's your personality?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite color?
So it's really the it's really the basis of the whole planning process is to discover your community's identity.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's a hard one.
What is our community and how far does it extend? Is it everybody on the lake? Is it just us? If you think about it too much, your head starts to hurt.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
But just to try and fit it into the context of how municipalities are run, so the local government act is fairly clear on what the role of a municipality is: roads, protection, fire, police, cemeteries, parks, you know, like it's sewer, water. It's not very sexy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's at the core. Actually, legally, the only thing, do you know what the only thing a municipality has to do by law?
What?
Is bury people.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
everything else and bury the dead.
Random.
But it's because it's an old, it's an older act, right?
Yeah.
But so if you live in an incorporated municipality, that is the only thing legally it has to do under the Government Act.
Wow.
As I understand.
Not even
it.
Like keep the water clean or anything like that.
Well, because a lot of people are on private water systems.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's this really complex web of different communities doing different things in different ways. rural city, small city. Like, it's very sophisticated. Mm-hmm. And so with the point of a master plan, so whether, like, we're doing a Canoe Beach master plan and a Klahani Park master plan, and we have a Blackburn Park plan, and we have a roads plan, and a greenway strategy. And so those are physical assets that you can improve over time based on the input from the community. Mm-hmm. And then you can set up a reserve account for them, start saving the money, mm-hmm. put the work out for RFP, and then see the work happen. But it's years and years of process.
Yep.
And planning. Whereas culture, it's happening anyway.
Yeah. Except that,
right?
There's parts of culture that you can decide are important to your
yes.
community
yeah.
and decide to invest in.
So how do you harness it so that you're making the most of that capacity
yeah. Yeah.
and the most of that willingness and potential, right? Mm-hmm. And then how do you harness the fact that a community's culture, and we're really speaking about, I mean, culture by definition is the ways in which we live together.
Mm-hmm.
So in this town, hockey is a...
It's a cultural asset.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
But that's the problem with the conversation.
Or going for a hike is,
I know.
Is
the
a
trails
culture.
Are part of it. I mean, we can
eating
say...
Eating food is a culture.
I know.
Right?
But we yeah. have to...
So we have to
yeah, bring it
focus
back
in to the arts.
Yes,
right.
we do.
Yeah.
And that was a conversation as cultural... Mm-hmm. Like the task force for the Culture mm-hmm. Master Plan meeting was defining culture is... It's so huge.
So broad.
We yeah. can't cover the whole thing mm-hmm. with a Culture Master Plan. We
and
have to come down into the arts sector
exactly.
and say, this is what we're talking about. But in terms of investment
right.
over time.
Yeah. So the task force is tasked with relatively little time and no money
yeah.
to come up with, does the task force recommend we go down this road? If so, what is the scope?
Mm-hmm.
What are the objectives? How much is it going to cost? Who's going to pay for it? How are we going to do it? What are we going to do with it when we have it?
Yeah.
Is the way I see it.
Yeah.
And so it is a challenging job. So right now we have a very tight group of key stakeholders
mm-hmm.
just to sort of do the broad strokes, right? So if you're out there going, well, nobody ever talked to me about cultural master plan, don't worry, it's coming.
Yeah.
Assuming it's the will of council to move
well,
forward.
Well, that's the thing,
this.
Is if we actually get to move forward,
yeah.
then there's huge community consultations
yes.
where you've got lots of opportunities yeah. to come and have your say.
Yeah, it's a bit like planning a dinner party. You just want to, I don't know, what should we,
yeah.
you know,
well, first,
should we have a dinner party?
Yeah.
What should we put on the menu?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's allergic to what? That kind of, it's just the really just introducing the
yeah.
idea.
Yeah. It's not yeah. even moving forward yet. It's
oh
just,
gosh, no.
It's just about the talking, which and, is, actually it is moving forward because we're talking
yes,
about it.
And,
so.
And that process piece is important. So most communities have a master, many communities have a master cultural
yes,
plan,
yes.
usually sort of the 80,000 and above
mm-hmm,
size,
mm-hmm.
even have their own cultural planning department
yes.
within the city's scope. So it's easier for them to say, well, this is our cultural team and this yeah. is our cultural plan. Therefore the team will deliver on the plan and report to council and boom, done.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Kelowna went down that road. When I was at the SILGA meetings, Southern Interior Local Government Association meetings last week, I happened to say hello to the mayor of Kelowna, Colin Bazin, and I said, this is a great cultural district you have here. And he said, thank you. I said, how hard was it? He said, it was difficult. Don't give up. But in their downtown core, they have heritage buildings that have been repurposed as gathering
yeah.
spaces. They have very contemporary what's called co-working or co-lab spaces. There's the place is overrun with millennials.
Yeah.
Seriously, people and like, you know, hipsters, man buns, you know, all of that. I even saw a guy walking a potbelly pig.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And the food is fantastic and so but it took 25 years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's right next to, not coincidentally, the hockey arena.
Yeah.
Because, just like he said, because that's part of our culture
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
so
true.
When I was there, George Thorogood was playing at Prospera Place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it packed.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying we want to bring in George Thorogood as part of the cultural master plan, but you can see there's a vibrancy
mm-hmm.
that was planned specifically for a specific area of Kelowna, and it's working.
Yeah. and that it was 25 years in the making.
Yes.
That it's okay.
Yes.
Like,
and
we
they
don't
have an art
to
walk
see.
And their art gallery yep. and the
and that's what
and
makes,
the Rotary Center.
That's what makes those things connected. Successful
yes.
is that they planned for it for mm-hmm. 25
yes.
years because
yeah.
you can't say next year we're going to have this
mm-hmm.
because then next year you might not be able to support that.
Right.
You have to think, okay, how are we going to support it? Let's get the research behind us. Well, let's put this in the best position possible. Let's pair it up with this and this and mm-hmm. this so that it supports each other.
Yeah. And it's
right?
about synchronizing all that
yeah.
Energy that you can't touch or smell or feel.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's challenging. So
it's
you have to consult with a lot of people
mm-hmm.
and make these long-term plans
mm-hmm.
and think about sustainability because I know I say that word a lot, but you can't just bulldoze your way through like a good idea without knowing how you're going to support the idea.
Mm-hmm.
You have to start from the support system kind of place,
yes.
right? And say, you know, I think this is needed, but is it so needed that people will support
right,
it?
Right.
And then you go to the people saying, well, you support this, will you support this, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so you have to make sure you build the structure underneath it before you ever start building above ground.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
yeah.
and you know, there are numbers that support this. So both in terms of what the multiplier effect of a vibrant cultural scene mm-hmm. is and the employment numbers of people who work in the cultural sector, which are relatively high in this a city of this size.
Yeah.
Like you've done studies, and I remember one that said that as much as 7% of employment relates back to a cultural industry.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we have a world-class festival, we have a world-class art scene,
yeah.
we have all of those wow concerts, a lot of musicians, a lot of artisans, a lot of artists,
yeah.
and so we're lucky to have that. So how do we harness it in a way so that we enhance everybody's experience of gathering
yeah.
and sharing? Because that's, again, the ways in which we live together.
Right. And
so,
for me, I feel
so
like
whether it's
connecting
like a concert at Glen Eden Hall or...
Yeah.
It, what is, you know, do you culture? I guess we'll talk about that in the next 15
Yeah, because,
yeah.
well, what I want to say is that I think the connections aren't being made right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that groups are not connecting with each other. I think individual performers, musicians, dancers,
mm-hmm.
artists are not connecting with
mm-hmm.
each other right now.
They're not all in, but there are, it's the silo effect, right?
Yeah.
And the silo effect is, you know, it's 1990s.
Yeah.
That's yesterday's model.
Yeah.
And it's not working anymore.
No. And we can't,
no.
we can't expect them. We can't just say over the radio, okay, you guys need to get together more.
Yeah.
right. Like you can't just tell them.
No.
You have to actually build the structures
yes.
to help them
yes.
gather.
Because that's a culture too.
Yes.
Right? The silo culture. And if you look at millennials, they're not about silos. They don't need their own house, their own car, their own office.
The share economy.
They want to share the economy. So
yeah.
same goes with culture, right? So how do we build a structure, like an invisible infrastructure, that makes sure we connect those
yeah.
groups so that there's that synergy that happens?
Yeah.
And it's happening in government, and it's happening, you know, it's not for nothing Trudeau went to Banff. I know people say, trip to Banff. But it's important, you know, about taking Ottawa out of Ottawa.
Yeah.
Know?
Oh, definitely.
Same idea. They're doing it in healthcare. They're doing it at, as I say, in government. They're doing it in education. They're putting kids in, you know, in situ, in the places where they, they're putting them in the forest. They're putting them in trades training. And,
mm-hmm.
and so this silo model, while practical, is, it's done its job. It's where we have to move on to the next thing.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Time to evolve.
Yes.
We're very excited that we're starting down the road. We've taken like a baby step down
mm-hmm.
the road to cultural planning in Salmon Arm. But we're also talking about scope and region and what is culture.
What
and,
is it? And
taking
do you
this
engage in culture? Because if you ask people, are you into arts and culture? They're, oh, no, it's not for me.
Yeah.
Like sometimes then I'll say, well, didn't you go to see Devin Coyote the other night at the... you know, actually, we saw Devin Coyote in Kelowna. Amazing.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
playing
he's cool.
May 7th. May. Soon. May
yeah.
soon. at the Elks Club. Get your tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
I know, but
right?
like that's the thing. People,
didn't you go
people,
to your granddaughter's dance recital?
I know.
You know? And
this
they don't
is the thing
identify
they don't see.
It.
And,
yeah.
and then I tell people about the whole curatorial thing. Like
mm-hmm.
you make yourself a playlist, you're curating,
mm-hmm.
right? Like you have a little art collection in your house, even
mm-hmm.
if it's just you know, prints you've picked up at Winners, you know, mm-hmm. you're still curating, you're still creating a collection of things. And some of those things, like everything from greeting cards to your designer underwear,
yeah.
are design decisions.
Yes.
So all of those things are part of what you consider your mm-hmm. culture. And so it's there. It's yes. in you. It's yes, coming out totally. Every day, every minute, no matter what.
Yeah. And there's a range of participation.
Yes.
So it's about, and that range of participation can, to some extent, be measured.
Yes. Do you want to hear this?
Yes, I want to hear
okay,
this.
Okay. This is exciting.
Okay.
I love this little chart.
Okay.
We learned about this in at the Arts Summit in
14.
No, way back before then.
2013?
2012.
2012.
I know. Wow. We've been doing this a long time. Okay. There are five modes of arts participation.
Yes.
And actually, it's really easy like to sort of identify what yeah. levels you fall into in different genres, right?
Sure.
Because like, a visual artist is different than a dancer, different yes. than a writer, yes. and a reader, right? Okay. So on the outside is ambient arts participation. Okay. So ambient, it's so obvious. It's like you're in an elevator, the music's on.
Muzak.
That's it.
It's not called Muzak anymore, but
no.
Yeah.
So it's when you're entering into an environment, you can't help it.
Yes.
It's, there's arts happening and you don't really know.
Go to the college and there's our, the city's art collection or the,
right.
The District Arts Council's art collection is there.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah, that is. It's a nice thing. And going to a piece of public art in the downtown where that happens to also be a sitting opportunity,
yeah,
like
the,
sitting in it.
The right? Ross Street Mosaic.
Yep. And
go for your
the apples
lunch there.
At Saskew,
yes.
and like those kinds of things. So you're ambiently participating
culture.
In those
yeah.
things that already exist
yeah.
and you just kind of happen upon them. The next is observational mm-hmm. participation. So that's when you actually make the effort to walk into a space, like go into an art gallery or go to a play. You know, you pay money, you actually go,
yeah.
choose to go and choose to invest something
yes.
in that thing.
Yes.
But you're observing.
Right.
You're not a participant. You're an mm-hmm. observer. The next one is curatorial.
Yes.
And that's what I was saying about building your collection. So it's buying local art. It's putting your playlist together. It's a collection of books that you display
yeah,
in your living
you
room.
Yeah, maybe you buy a piece of pottery at the Mother's Day pottery sale.
Right.
Or, yes.
Yeah. So you're creating your own collection mm-hmm. of something, and that's curatorial mm-hmm. Participation. Then there's interpretive arts participation. Mm-hmm. So we're really getting deeper now, right?
Yes.
So that is when you are...
And so it's kind of like a triangle, right?
Yeah.
Because there's probably fewer people at the top than at the bottom.
Yes.
But everybody in the triangle matters.
But you can move around.
Yes. Up and down the...
That's right. You can move all... It's kind of a wave, actually.
Yes.
It kind of comes out as a...
Oh, okay. More
a rounded wave.
Okay.
Kind of thing. So at the interpretive arts participation level, it's you are a producer, but you're actually interpreting other creative works.
Right.
So for instance, if you play the French horn in the symphony, mm-hmm. You're probably playing... Mozart and Brahms mm-hmm. and right and but so you're not
or
creating
if you're
that
singing
content.
Karaoke at the new
yep.
You know bar in West Side oh my goodness West Village oh I've done it again sorry Lord Erickson and Chad Shipmaker you know
yeah
the
I know.
Country bar you can go to karaoke on like Saturday nights
yeah
that's interpretive
right so you're doing it you're and just not creating it
no exactly
but you're still doing it
yes
you're absolutely in deep up to your knees participating
yes.
in the arts
or you go to the square dancing at the seniors
yes.
Fifth Avenue
yeah,
right
that's right
yes
yeah and then the
which a lot of people do apparently
really
oh yeah that place is jam-packed
oh my god
okay
not yeah. judging
okay.
just saying okay. And then the top, of course, is inventive
yes.
arts participation. So that's when you are the creator.
Right.
You are the writer. You are the painter. You
yes.
are the musician who's writing his songs, writing the lyrics. You are making it happen.
Right.
So it's true that there's fewer people in that little sphere, but you can move about all over this map.
Right.
At will, depending on your intention.
So you
right?
might be a quilter.
Yes.
Right?
And so for years
so
you might have followed patterns.
That's
right?
the top of the...
Well, no, if you're following other patterns, that would be interpretive.
Okay, but
right?
if you're making
But
your
all
own?
Of a sudden you're making your own, you're in the inventive.
Inventive.
Yes.
Right?
So you are creating art.
Right, just like those people who spend their Saturdays at the new sewing shop.
Yeah.
In Bill Laird's building.
Yeah.
The old Honda building.
Yeah.
Inventive.
Yes, that's right.
And so I think where we get hooked up or mixed up or tripped up is when people think, well, what am I going to pay for that for? I'm not going to pay for people to paint. They should get a job and make money like everybody else. Right.
Most painters actually have jobs,
yes,
but whatever.
No, okay.
That's
right?
I know
but
what you're saying is the investment
only,
part,
yes,
right?
They're only talking about the top of the
Yeah. So when people talk about they don't want the federal government to spend $1 million on the National Ballet or something, right? Yeah. Like when people say, what? That's not fair. You know, hungry children, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. We're like,
but that's slippery slope, that argument. That doesn't work.
It's awful. But we're not talking about that kind of investment.
No.
We're really talking about investment in all five of these levels.
Yes.
And that we want the entire community, mm-hmm. the entire population to benefit in some way, maybe not all inventive ways, but in some way
yes.
from the building of that yeah. cultural
just
connection.
Just like we want all of the community to benefit in some way from a hockey rink or a swimming right. pool or a trail.
Yes.
Right. Or a beach.
Yeah.
Right. So it has to be on a level playing field.
Yeah.
Write that down.
Level playing field.
I was just going to say it. So this week, the Minister of Canadian Heritage, Mélanie Jadi, mm-hmm. Is talking about completely revamping all Canadian cultural policy, that. Like yeah. blowing
Canada
it up and
content.
Starting again.
Yeah.
Right. So again, CanCon had its place, but now the system is broken and it's not a level playing field. So what's happening is, well, my personal view, because of the structures that are in place now, it's very hard for emerging publishers, emerging artists, emerging writers, emerging, who have I forgotten?
Musicians
yeah. to break into the system, because in a way the system is protecting those who are already in it, right? So like when I did more traditional publishing where I would take all the risk and then try and push my content into the chain, mm-hmm. I couldn't get in the chain because I was being blocked out of it by the bigger publishers who had block grants from the feds. And so their distribution network was stronger and they could print more and they could send their authors out on tour and they could go to festivals. And I couldn't do that.
Holy.
Even if I wanted to.
Yeah.
I mean, I tried. Yeah. So, but it's not a level playing field.
Yeah.
And they're not letting anybody in because it is, in a way, a form of protectionism.
Yeah.
Now, what's happening is because the models are changing, that model isn't working anymore. Mm-hmm. So they're prepared to relook at the whole thing, which is exciting because in a way we're right on trend yet again mm-hmm. in Salmon Arm. Is we're saying, okay, well, if the way that culture is distributed is changing, then maybe we need to change the way we look at arts and culture.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's totally happening.
Mm-hmm. It is, and we're totally willing
yeah.
to accept the fact that things do change.
Yes,
that we're not saying no. We want to not change, and so we want to make a plan.
No, it has
so
to
that
be
it stays the same,
fluid and flexible.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah. But it's all about connecting the silos.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so
connections are the number one
yes,
thing here.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
We talk about investment, we talk about quality of life, we talk about all those things, but really, what we want mm-hmm. is connections.
Mm-hmm. And the mandate letter of the Minister of Canadian Heritage is to improve the opportunities for cultural gathering, cultural yeah. placemaking, yeah. Cultural infrastructure, right? So if we want to be a part of that conversation, we have to have a plan.
Yes.
So that will be, if the committee decides when we go back to council in September that that's the way we want to go, which means that the status quo is okay, but we'd like to see this, mm-hmm. Or the status quo is fine, we don't need to do anything, or we don't even like the status quo, so we need to do something completely different.
Right.
So whatever the group decides to take, I'll take it to council, and hopefully it'll be the will of council to adopt whatever, you know,
yeah,
maybe challenge us a little bit
yeah.
because that's important too.
Yeah. But your point about having a plan in place so that when opportunities come up federally and provincially to do something,
yes,
that's a critical point.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't show that you've already got that in your plan, you know, then you look like you're just scrambling to come up with
it. And you're a day late and
a
dollar short.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm tired of being a day late and a dollar short.
Yeah.
Thank you. I don't want to do there anymore.
No.
I don't want to do that.
No.
And it's not that there aren't good ideas. It's just that we're not synced up with what else is happening. And because there's a new government and a new attitude, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm channeling some song from the 80s. I've got a new attitude. It's really a very opportune you know,
yeah,
these are very exciting times.
It is exciting times. Yes. Yeah. And I've always felt like that when somebody comes into the gallery and drops an idea on my counter saying, you guys should do this. You know, my first reaction, of course, is, well, then you should do it, right?
Yeah.
But really, it's the same concept.
Yes.
Well, you can't just drop an idea on the lap and then walk away without having had that, or without that idea fitting into a mandate that already exists that says, yes, that's important. And yes, this is how we will support it. And there's a structure to support it, right? Like, and so that's why those ideas die on the table.
Totally. And every single idea, if it's good enough to go forward, then it has to have a champion. And if you can't be that champion, then rather than push the idea, find the champion.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's in every single idea, whether it's a new highway or a new sewer.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. It needs a champion.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. So I just want to say what in Toronto's cultural master plan, they had two main purposes for it. And I think the second is really what we're looking at here. So their first is a strategy aimed to enhance Toronto's place as a leading international center for culture. And second, to increase the role of culture in the city's economic and social development.
Yeah.
And I think that is the phrase that I want to keep.
Economic and social.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's not just about money. It's not about where to put the dollars. Mm-hmm. It's about how we create this social, you know, network, connecting, you know, really important place to belong.
Yes.
And that finding the cultural things that make that support that already, and then just identifying the things that will further support it are what we are planning.
And it has to be, you know, it's not about the formality, like the rink will be open from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Yeah.
Right? Culture will happen from 8 p.m. to 9:32. Nothing. It's not at all like that.
No.
Culture is very informal.
Yes.
But it's about the opportunities of people to come here and go, I don't know, what should we do? Okay, let's go here. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. And we have that. Like on any given Saturday night, you can go to a coffee house and then maybe listen to a band somewhere or, I don't know, go have a beer at the curling club. It's there, right?
Yeah.
But it's just about creating the conditions under which, you know, we maximize the impact of that.
Yes.
Long term.
Yeah. And I just want to point out, so last night we had an arts mixer at the Arts Council.
There you go.
And we have 38 member groups.
Yes.
And I invited all 38 of them. I set the date like 3 months ago. So, and I notified and I asked for RSVPs. And we had 9 groups represented.
Well,
and I feel like, okay, well, what is the message there? Because the Arts Council still really wants to maintain strong relationships with their groups so that we can co-promote their activities, right? So what is it that's keeping the other groups like too busy to come to those kinds of things?
Right.
So that's a discussion we have to have going forward too.
But it's still 25%.
Well, I don't feel like that's really good.
Oh, that's actually really good.
Oh, okay.
But here, but there's another issue of cultures. How do you measure it?
Yeah, yeah, that's
what's really good. Tracy has a trivia question for you.
Okay, in British Columbia,
what is bigger than?
Well, so what? Okay, what industry is bigger than agriculture, forestry, fishing, hunting, utilities, and accommodation and food services?
Gee, I don't know.
Just take a wild guess, Louise.
Culture?
Yes.
Ding, 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 ding. 2 points.
Yeah. Larger than the value added of all those industries.
Surprising.
Is the cultural industry in BC. So 94,800 jobs directly related to cultural industries, a GDP of $6.1 billion in British Columbia. That's 3.2% of our provincial GDP. And the Canadian average is 3.4%. So it kind of shows you where we are in the on the national thing. And the actual employment part is big too, where I'm lost my thingies here. Anyway, we're just one of the largest contributors of GDP.
Right? Yes.
Because I mean, it kind of goes back to what you said, culture is everything, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not just about art galleries and theaters and concert halls. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more stuff, a lot more designers, web designers, curators and
librarians,
yes,
architects,
publishers,
city
writers,
planners fit in under culture, right?
Yeah.
And the reason that's important is because we need to be able to measure. And then when you measure, then you can give it value. When you give it value, then you can make decisions, and those decisions may or may not include money.
Right.
So if you think about, say, Creative BC, like the province of BC is huge into culture right now. They sort of, they got the memo and they're moving on it. So Creative BC is a very powerful organization, but it covers the four sectors of culture that actually make money, right?
Right.
Or are thought to make money.
Probably film.
Film.
Yeah.
Music, publishing, and game development.
Video game development?
Video game development.
Oh, okay.
Gaming or...
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a very... It's heavily supported by the province, and it's making a big impact because look at Vancouver is mostly, you know...
I know.
EA Games, Google is there, Microsoft is there.
Sony
is there. Disney's in Kelowna.
Yeah.
Right? So my... As much, and then they're
a little
heavily
bit invisible,
investing in
aren't
BC
they?
Tech.
Yeah.
Which ties into creative culture, creative sector work. Yeah. And so it's a perfect storm. It's very exciting,
mm-hmm.
except it's really Lower Mainland focused.
Yeah.
So every chance I get, and if you're listening, and you can help with this, let's try a few pilot projects in the interior.
Yeah.
Not Kelowna, not Kamloops, more rural.
Yeah.
Right? Because believe it or not, people who work in tech and who are creative also like rural settings and...
Yeah, they like lakes and mountains and trees.
Yes, and little homes and little neighborhoods.
That they can afford.
Yes.
That's like, a big thing, right?
Yeah.
Lots of people moving out of the big cities into these smaller cities because of the price of housing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So follow them.
Yeah, right? And people talk about like the exodus of creatives from the city because they can't afford.
Yeah.
Well, again, we've... bringing in a lot of threads from previous conversations, but I feel like the early conditions are there
mm-hmm.
for Salmon Arm to be a place for those people.
Yeah.
We have fiber optics. We have affordable housing, relatively affordable housing.
It is actually when you compare to some other cities.
Yeah. And we have that lifestyle piece that you cannot manufacture.
Mm-hmm. We're right on the Trans-Canada Highway.
Yes. Yeah. Like in Toronto, I'm sure they spend a lot of time trying to green up neighborhoods and put trees in places that they took them out of once upon a time. We already have that asset structure here. Mm-hmm. We have that inventory.
Yeah.
And those are the things you can't manufacture.
Yeah.
So it's important to
and we
be
have good
pushing that lifestyle piece.
Healthcare sort of pieces, right? And we have, I mean, there's...
Oh, yeah, good, great schools, access to healthcare.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know people are unhappy with the school district right now, but in the grand scheme of things... you know,
well,
there
it's
are places where kids...
It's a provincial problem anyway, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things that no matter where you go in BC, there's issues with mm-hmm. school districts mm-hmm. because they're strapped. And that's a whole different conversation. Mm-hmm. But basically, we've got a lot of really wonderful schools and a whole lot of amazing teachers mm-hmm. and principals that are running those schools.
And it would be a shame to lose sight of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're right. Conditions are perfect.
Yeah, those conditions, but it's
attracting
hard
that.
The creative class. And everybody's trying to attract the creative class. I get that. But we still need to measure in such a way that, you know, you find the value. Once you find the value, then you can make the equation. Once you find the equation, then you can make the ask, mm-hmm. right? So there are a couple of fairly straightforward ways to measure. And one of them, as I understand it, you're already working on separate from the cultural master plan pieces, an inventory of cultural assets.
Right.
Right. So what have we got? We've got like four community halls, two theaters, one live theater, you know, like a laundry list of all of the things. We have a big recreation gym. We've got a Field of Dreams. Like
where all are, the venues that can be used for multi-purpose cultural events.
And
right?
how many
a
seats
venue analysis.
In each of those.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And do they have a stage? Do they have a screen?
Do they have lights?
Do they have lights?
Yeah.
And believe
it
or not.
Room? Do they have access? Is it public access?
Yes.
Is it private only? Is it school district owned? Is it right?
Right. Like, because is it private? Is it public?
Yeah.
Is it in the faith community, because they have some incredible assets,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
They've got stages. They've got great sound. They've got, right? Like the United Church is unbelievable in terms of a cultural space.
Yeah.
So, and believe it or not, we don't actually have any of that inventory.
No, we don't. That's the thing. And people contact us all the time saying, you know, first of all, they find out our capacity in the gallery is only 60. And then during a certain kind of exhibition, it might be only 30 or it might be not at all. You know, if it's a 3D thing. So then they say, where else can I go?
Where else can I go?
Yeah. And so I think, okay, Shoes Up Theater, Salmar Classic, Field of Dreams, right? I've got kind of a few in my head, but that's about it. No. I really do need a proper inventory to be able to share that information. And so does everybody else who offers venue opportunities.
The basics, right? And that as you say, basics. Private, public, faith communities, community halls, some are youth, some aren't. Mm-hmm. And of those, you know, out of a week, or say on average over 52 weeks, how many days are they full?
Yeah.
Right? So do we have excess capacity or are we full up? Yeah. I tend to think we don't. We do have excess capacity.
Yes, we do. We have lots of capacity.
Yes.
Lots of empty spaces.
Empty. So how do we maximize the use of that?
Yeah.
So then when the question becomes, do we need to build thing A or, right? Well, at least you have it's almost like saying, I don't know, do I need a new roof?
Yeah.
Well, has anyone gone up there and looked?
Yeah.
You know, so that's what this is. We're going to go take a look at the roof.
That's right. Right.
And now some of the shingles need to be fixed. There's no doubt about that.
Yes. But. And there's opportunities sometimes to expand instead of build new. Right. Yeah. So there's lots of innovative ways of dealing with venues when you're talking about, you know, but you have to know.
Yeah.
You have to measure.
So that's the network of things.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Actually, infrastructure. Right?
Yeah,
and that's a major drive behind this cultural master plan process is to evaluate our infrastructure to determine if we have a long-term need for infrastructure because it takes a long time plan for that.
Do we want more? Of course we want more, but it really is important to start at the what have we got now.
Yes.
And if you're in a silo, you can't do that.
Yeah,
don't know. So, you know, as a counselor, I'm grateful to the District Arts Council and Rotary for stepping up to the plate saying we're willing to do this fundamental baseline, you know, just a snapshot of what we have now.
Yeah.
And that's going to be so important in building up what we do or don't do.
And it sounds,
but it still has value, right?
It absolutely does. Yeah. And it sounds really boring, right? Like it's for some people that are, but for me, as soon as we kind of decided to go forward with that, and like you said, Rotary has been fantastic. They've got, you know, a dedicated idea about doing this long-term planning thing. They want to see the culture of the community be, you know, the very fiber of our everyday lives. And I got so excited knowing that we were going to do an asset inventory.
Yes.
It's weird.
Oh, no, asset inventory is where it's at, man.
Yeah.
You should start a club. It's exciting.
Okay, but other
than... But then the next... So that's the things.
Yes, the
then
things.
Then there's the people.
Yeah.
Right? So we need to be able to say to the community at large, hey, do you culture? How much do you culture? Where do you culture? Where would you like to culture?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What do you think culture is? And again, that's not beyond the reach of a community of this size to do.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, we've got the capacity to go out into the street. I mean, it's not like like Toronto where you'd have to cover.
Oh my God.
We've got the ability, we've got bodies willing to do this, to actually do person-to-person surveys.
Sure.
And phone surveys and group surveys,
you know,
and collective meetings, community meetings, things like that.
Hopefully people see it as their civic duty to make a contribution, especially if your contribution is, I don't like culture, I don't want any. That's important too.
Okay, so here's some more figures. I kind of, in the measurement department of our show today, I'm excited about economic stuff only because I love that Hill Strategies has been working on this for about a decade now, trying to build actual numbers for the cultural industry to be able to use when they go to their municipalities, provinces, federal level to say, you know, your investment does this, and then our contribution is this.
Yes.
It helps a lot.
Yes.
Anyway, okay, so consumer spending on culture. This is Canada. Overall, per year, $27.4 billion.
Wow.
So that's broken down into the highest is home entertainment.
Okay.
So it'll be like Netflix and renting movies and stuff like that. Reading material.
Which is American.
Yes.
Yeah, right? So that's why the content rules and how do we... Right? That's important. That's why.
Totally.
Canadian Heritage is going, okay, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Chain's broken. Fix the chain.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So over half, $15.4 billion is home entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Reading material, $4.8 billion is next on the list.
Books, magazines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Artworks and events.
Yes.
$3.1 billion.
Wow.
Yeah. And then photographic equipment and services.
Wow.
I know. $1.8 billion.
Which is a form of... curatorial and interpretive and
inventive.
And inventive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're out there taking pictures and then you're actually printing them and not just letting them sit with the 4,000 other photos on your computer,
right?
You're doing something inventive.
So someone approaches, a young person approaches you with an iPad and says, I have a cultural survey. They might ask you, are you a photographer? Do you write? And so you break it into the
clips
five.
Of your kids?
Yes. And, you break it into those five levels and you measure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So then you do actual and then you do aspirational and then bingo, bango, bongo. You know mm-hmm. what the participatory levels are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So next on the list, movie theater admissions, $1.2 billion.
Wow.
That's how much we spend in Canada per year. And then last of the big billions is art supplies and musical instruments.
There you go.
$1.1 billion
a year. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we actually are like little artist dragons that hoard our artist materials and our musical stuff.
You know, and I would say we need to add in our snapshot of cultural spaces that we do have a couple of music stores and a couple of art supply stores. Mm-hmm. That's important.
Yeah.
Right? If you have to drive to Kelowna to get your paint, it's not necessarily
well, that doesn't practical. Help the economic driving part of our downtown.
Yeah,
or our
so
malls,
those
right?
support services are important that you have music teachers and art teachers, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. So. Oh, I was just at Shoes Up Music Festival is going on.
Yes. Right?
And the concert band, both my kids were playing in the concert band at the same time.
Nice.
So it was really quite lovely to go. Listening to the adjudicator talk about music and ensuring that those kids continue on with their music was so funny. He was very inspirational, but he, now I did my own background. I forgot what I was going to say about him. What did he say that was so cool? he said lots of things that were really cool, but he just talked about how you can't, people like him, that's what it was. People like him, the adjudicators, Brian PJ, all the awesome music teachers on the planet don't have a job unless you, he's saying to the kids, unless you keep picking up that instrument and keep making music a priority in your life.
Wow.
So remember how important you are to us. That's why we really want you to love this.
Aww.
Yeah. It was really, really great.
What a sweet thing to say.
I know.
It's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, I think we're already, it's time to take a break again.
Already.
And we didn't even get too far into measurement.
No.
But a note that you can.
But it's measurable.
Yes.
Right?
And that we will be measuring in these coming sort of 6 to 10 months. We're going to be out there measuring. Mm-hmm. So be conscious of the measurement attempts and participate in that.
And get counted.
Yes. Be counted.
Be counted.
And now.
As the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Well, we actually had trouble this week deciding on a dramatic moment.
Did you do one last week with Phil?
Yes, we did.
What did you do?
I did the Mexican artist who did the installation at the Tate with the bedding plant, or the bedding, garden beds.
Yes.
Where they just took soil, like bare soil from London parks, filled all these triangular raised beds in the Tate Modern.
Cool.
And it looked barren.
Yes.
And all they did is water it and let it go for 6 months.
And?
So it started last October. And I think I mentioned it. I thought we talked about it one time when we talked about landform art last year. And so it finished in April. And so I thought, I want to look it up and see what happened. Well, things actually did grow.
Oh, cool.
Right?
That's
and
good.
So we had a discussion about how artwork sometimes is just all about making you think about what's there when you don't think something is there.
Yes.
And the ethereal and sort of your experience of it. And especially when it comes to nature, right?
Yes.
You know, when you think it's all what you can see right now, but you don't think about what's the future,
right?
What the potential is in every tiny morsel, every seed, every molecule, right? It's a bigger, I know,
totally
right?
Totally philosophical, Batman. Was it philosophical moment? Was it a dramatic moment?
Well, it was kind of a dramatic moment because stuff grew, but we ended up talking about the kind of ideology of why it's important to think about that. And talking to Phil, that guy is a thinker.
Yes.
Like he really is. He's a brilliant fellow who talks about trail integration into our lives.
Storytelling is part of our lives.
Yes. And being changed by walking into the forest, like being scientifically, physically changed, like literally you will be transformed. Mm-hmm. And it was just really mind blowing.
Oh, wow. I can't wait to listen to it. I hope
I hope it gets podcast.
Yeah, let's podcast that one. Well, speaking of things that, instead of things that are there and why, let's talk about things that aren't there.
What a nice segue.
So I know our memories are short, but does anyone remember the Panama Papers?
I know, in this day and age of like one day,
holy bam, very news quick thing. Batman.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right? Anyway, so people for many years, bad guys, have hidden money in art.
Mm-hmm.
And
who knew?
I know. So just in case you think art doesn't have value, ask a gangster.
Yeah.
Right? It turns out that the Panama Papers is not only showing where large, nameless, faceless corporations are hiding money, it's also showing where the same are hiding art. Right? So they found the Modigliani masterpiece that's been missing for 50 years in the Panama Papers.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
I know. The thing's worth like, what is it? Like $35.5 million? Something like that? Yeah, $35
million. $35
million. Yeah.
But the painting is owned by a corporation.
Okay, but see, here's the thing.
Not all corporations are bad guys, but there is money moves where it's safest, right?
Yeah.
And for some reason, we have this attitude that the less tax we pay, the smarter we are.
Yeah.
And there's entire industries built on it, like big ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And it's so unfortunate because in a way, if the taxation system, it has to be fair, it can't be punitive, I get that. But you can do so much. Think about what that $35 million could do.
I know.
Right? If you put it back to work.
Yes.
If you gave it a structure in which it could go back to work and grow a, you know,
yeah,
just like a garden.
Yeah.
If you steal all the seeds, that's what money is. It's like seeds in a garden. If you say, well, I'm not giving you my seeds.
Yeah. Then I know.
How do you ever expect to have anything else and to grow to get more seeds?
Yeah.
Right?
And that is the world in which these people are living in.
Yeah.
So why is it that they don't want to see the world around them a better place?
Well, I mean,
it's a kind of an interesting, weird dichotomy.
Again, we've talked about this before, but I really think it's because we're trying to solve tomorrow problems with yesterday's solutions.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to look to people who aren't afraid to take leadership roles in the tomorrow solutions and to make the brave decisions and to challenge assumptions and to go out there and say, okay, let's shake this up. Let's rip it apart, bust it open, figure it out and put it back together so that it works better.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why you need diversity of thought.
Yes. And so that diversity, inclusiveness message is really important.
Yes.
And in a way, culture allows that because the culture, if you think about it, like when I think about culture, I always think about bread, right? It's a culture.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Right? A living, bubbling thing that makes bread happen.
Yeah.
And I love bread, so that's probably why I have this culture connection to it. Right?
Eating bread is like eating dessert.
Right? But it can also, culture can also be bad.
Yes.
So
it's
you
true,
have cultures
true.
That create disease or illness, mm-hmm. right? So it's about fostering the yummy bread culture.
Yeah.
And how do we do that,
mm-hmm.
right? But you have to feed it. You got to pay attention to it. You got to make sure that the bowl is right and the temperature of the bowl is right and the yeast isn't too old and the, the
and
water's the right temperature.
The important thing is that it's a combination of factors.
Now I want to make bread.
Yeah. It's a combination of factors that you can't have a monoculture.
No.
Right? Like that is a not healthy culture.
No.
And that is where diverse thought comes in.
And if you only ate bread, you'd hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. And so that is, can I just talk about the characteristics of a healthy community?
Yes. Let's
because
do that.
There are a whole lot of things out there. I mean, there's been people writing about this for years and years, and we're only now paying attention because it's become part of the Creative Cities, you know, kind of attempts at making sure that we foster and enhance our, you know, creative identity and blah, blah. But we've got 10 characteristics of a healthy community that was written as part of a larger paper and how the arts can be integrated
yes.
into the city.
And then so, maybe we can wrap it up by what we're hopeful would come out of it for Seminar.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
go.
What, well, one of the things I'm sorry, maybe I'll read this fast,
no,
but number one, the arts bring together diverse people.
Yes.
And that is a key part of this, that we are not talking about, okay, pardon me because I'm almost one of these, but we're not talking about 65-year-old women who are, you know, kind of almost entirely in control of the art sector across Canada, right? Because we, saw a time of, prosperity where only one person in the household had to work. And so in the 70s, for instance, is a good example where if there was a male professional in the household, the wives dedicated their lives to
nonprofit
founding and enhancing and right? Like all of these nonprofit groups, and a lot of those were arts groups, cultural groups, symphonies, galleries, right? And so now those women are between 60 and 80. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to see this mass exodus of retirees, like senior staff and senior directors in these next few years.
Yeah,
so
we have to make sure. If we all think about our women our age, our moms, my mom was always on the board of something.
Yeah.
The daycare, the theater group, the... Mm-hmm.
So it's fun. It's wonderful. These things were founded on these women's backs. They
yes.
they worked their rear ends yes. off for these places to exist. Now we have to build on that, but we can't have the same structure.
No.
Because what happens is you have the same line of thinking. Like you have a group of 10 people who basically all think the same mm-hmm. way. And so now is the time to make that change.
Little.
Yeah. And bring in diversity yes. of thought. So now it's the time to be innovative about how you structure
age,
a board.
Background, yep. gender, income,
yep.
Education.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's time to kind of blow this structure
yes,
out of the water
totally.
Too, right? Yeah. So okay. anyway, the arts bring together diverse people. That is a critical part of what the arts can do to benefit a community. Elected officials understand the importance of supporting the arts and do so, but we're already going down that road, so
yes.
that's good. The arts are valued as a critical component of learning for children and adults. Active participation in culture creates individual and community meaning. I think that's an important part because mm-hmm. this concept of meaning and quality of life is
and
also very nebulous.
Identity.
It's hard to, yeah, it's hard to define.
It is.
But when you start talking about it, you realize it's critical.
Mm-hmm.
It's critical for us to even crawl out of bed every day, that feeling of belonging and identity.
And I'm counted on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm
usually
important.
What gets me out of bed.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
They need me to get this done. Okay.
I'll get out of bed this morning. Business people and corporate citizens recognize that the arts are important to a healthy business environment and are involved in the arts in diverse ways. So that doesn't just mean like bless Askews. They support everything, right?
Yes.
It doesn't just mean sponsorship. It means you're involved as well. So you might have employees that actually go out and do all, and you support your employees mm-hmm. to be part of these arts organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so
mm-hmm.
it's,
and it's a very powerful legacy piece too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The arts are infused in the natural and built environments. And that's a public art thing, right? Like, I want to make sure we have good public art policy by the time we're finished this mm-hmm. cultural master plan, because that is integral.
We'll have to put that on the list.
Put it on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the book, rabbit. Then the arts are integral to civic dialogue and community building.
Yes.
The arts are valued as an industry because of their contribution to the economy, which encompasses quality of life, economic development, and tourism.
Yes.
That's critical for our area too, right? Like you said before about all of our things, like the gallery and the WOW and all these things are on the tourism brochures, but we don't actually, you know, get sort of recognized as having scrambled to pull minimal resources together
yes.
to produce those
mm-hmm.
things. And yet those
and
things
people
get
relocate,
used to promote.
People relocate. That's one of the first things they want to know is, like, what do people do there?
Yeah.
Is there music?
Yeah.
Is there good food?
Yeah.
Right?
I know. Like, think about what you
and,
look
and
for
and they've
in a
even
community.
Done studies. People might not go to the opera or the ballet, but they like to have the option.
Yeah. Yeah. They might not go all the time.
No.
But they like to
but
know.
But they like to
they
live
could.
In towns where people do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The contributions of individual artists are valued and supported.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important characteristic. And finally, the arts flourish with new and diverse leadership informed by those who paved the way for them.
Yes.
And that is a critical part of keeping your history
mm-hmm.
and understanding the importance of your history as well as bringing
yes,
in new and diverse thought.
You know, I chair the Heritage Commission, and those people amaze me every time we have a meeting. They're so knowledgeable and they connect us so well to where we came from, and if you don't know where you came from, it's really hard to figure out where you're
exactly
where you're going.
Yeah,
you know,
so it's a relationship,
yeah.
a hand-in-hand relationship, heritage in the future,
totally. And everything we do now will be heritage one day.
Yeah,
so that's the piece that I'm always
so do it well,
do it well.
Yes,
because one day there'll be a group of people sitting around a room going, what was her name, the curator at the gallery? Right?
Yeah.
And we don't think about that.
I know. Everything I'm doing there will be history.
Absolutely.
Wah. It's kind of freaky to think about.
And every public art piece is already part of local
yeah.
history, but there's modern history. And,
yeah.
And, you know, so you know, the Haney piece and the Heritage piece is really important.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if our sponsor is a history buff.
Oh, I'll bet you.
I bet you.
Thank you to our anonymous sponsor.
Yes.
Plaid wearing, chocolate and cheese loving, and trail walking
history
sponsor.
Reading sponsor.
And, yeah. absolutely interested in historical stories.
I bet you the sponsor would rock at Trivial Pursuit.
Oh, yes, I'm sure.
Speaking of heritage, yeah.
Maybe that's how we'll get to identify him or her, is challenge him or her to a game of Trivial Pursuit.
Ooh, maybe we should have a seminar on Trivial Pursuit game.
That would be good.
I probably wouldn't do very well. Oh. I didn't do very well. We played last week and I didn't do very well either.
Knut Rockne.
Yeah.
That's what I say to everything. Okay. So for more information about arts events coming up in the community, check our website, salmonarmartcenter.ca. Click on participate. That's the best way to kind of find out what's coming up. And on the cultural planning part of this, there's going to be a lot of community consultation coming up in the next few months, and it might not be, it might be on the street. It might not be a formal thing that's advertised in a big, you know, facility, but you might find yourself in conversations with people. And this is the time to really think about how you culture.
Yeah. How you culture.
How do you culture?
How you culture.
And but, how often do
and
you
if
culture?
You have thoughts, you know, share them with us, right? Because it's a bubbly, ongoing thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Ever-changing, ever-evolving.
That's right.
And everybody counts.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we want diversity of thought. We want to hear different opinions. Mm-hmm. We don't want everybody to show up and say what we think we want or what they think we want them to say.
No, because those cultures are not fun ones to live in.
No.
Just ask people who live in other parts of the world.
Yeah, but definitely.
So on that note, we'll wish you a very culturally bubbly day.
Yes.
And hope you join us next time.
Bye-bye, everyone.